windy today.
Oh, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's go have a drink. Welcome to Brookings Cafe. There's just no telling who might be here today as we venture in to quench our thirst. We call it our Great American Debate. We come to the discussion in the spirit of fairness and an attempt to offer something conclusive. We don't claim to be experts, but we will strive to come to the table prepared to discuss our topic. We are going to extend invitations to those we think may offer an opposing point of view, and in some cases we may extend a challenge to specific people or groups to defend their point of view. Beware, we fact-check anything that sounds questionable, and we look dimly on mere opinions that aren't based in knowledge. We are trying to reach some sort of a resolution, something that both sides can settle on as an idea worth promoting. Today we are discussing fake news. When the big one hits, who are you going to trust for the safety of your home and your family? Are you going to turn to the mainstream media, or are you going to trust Facebook? What about your country? Who do you trust to know what's really going on in America? I'm Dan.
I'm Calla.
I'm Ray.
I'm Scott.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Bill.
And we're here today to discuss fake news. Do we know what fake news is? So let's start this off with some questions that we have prepared before we got into this, and then I'll pass it around to other people who have questions as well. The first question I'm asking is, what is fake news? And then I kind of thought, well, does the National Enquirer, those famous tabloids at the grocery store, do they qualify for fake news? Does drunk Uncle Joe's last YouTube posting on how to burn a stump out of the ground qualify? We know that there are just tons and tons of YouTubes out there of how to do things, and some of them people know what they're talking about and some they don't. Is that fake news? How does advertising qualify in the struggle to gain control of the media? Is it a case of follow the money? Did the Russians take advantage of our advertising market to put fake news into our breakfast ritual? Was this an attack on our nation similar to Pearl Harbor? How can we defend ourselves against the Dr. Evil, you know who I'm talking about, from controlling our lives with this new mega weapon that is called fake news? Some thoughts about the concept of do-it-yourself news. A lot of that on YouTube especially, it seems like. There are other channels as well, but nonetheless, there are lots of people out there who are taking it upon themselves to run their own news organizations. So anybody else have questions that they want to bring up into the discussion?
I don't know if I have questions. I have lots of comments when we get to comments or ideas.
One of the big things with fake news as opposed to everything else is human beings depend severely on predictability. Fake news does this in severely. And that's the big characteristic of the current fake news that we're enduring.
So it does you in, that fake news exists?
Are we doomed as a result of fake news?
Does it cause unpredictability?
It causes unpredictability, exactly.
And you think that real news does not?
No, this real news can be biased, but fake news purposively, is supposed to be destroying predictability. And if you look at many of the things that have happened since 2016, it's evident.
What about weather reports? You get all of your information that you want to know about whatever emergency is occurring at the moment from reliable news sources, I think is probably a good way to express it. I'm wondering, would that be an adequate synonym for what you're talking about, a reliable source?
That would suffice, yes.
Okay.
And there is a difference between mistaken news and fake news. I think that mistaken news is news that is reported without full understanding of the facts, or because the knowledge base of the reporter is more slender, or the people propounding the news don't connect the dots well, or they depend on statistics which themselves are in question, or they simply repeat something that they think is from a reliable source that in fact was not. So mistaken news is a different thing from fake news, and I think we have a great deal of mistaken news also on the airwaves.
Well, it can also be on site, too. As an example, the truck that was running down people in New York, there was a reporter there reporting minute by minute by minute. And so that individual, although they may be reporting wrong, they're reporting what they are seeing, what they are hearing, what is there. And he's not claiming that it's absolutely perfect because we don't have an official report from the police department, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, there's multiple opportunities there.
When that type of thing happens, I don't even watch those initial things because there's so much going on. You go from one report to the next if you're just trying to say something just because he's supposed to be saying something. I wait till the 6 o'clock news or whatever after it's shaken out a little bit. It tends to be a little more accurate.
NPR News has just recently added a little footnote to a lot of the things they're publishing, saying, this news is breaking news. It's reported as truthfully as we can, but the whole thing is not known yet, and things are liable to change, which is, you know, an honest way to say we might make a mistake.
Well, I think a really good example of that is when you ask someone a question and they answer it. If you ask a little kid, why did you do that? I don't know. Well, that's a fair answer, and they don't want to tell you the truth of why they really did it. When you ask an adult and they say, I don't know, then you're really shaky. But if they can give you a reason, I did it because I believe that at the time, da-da-da-da-da, well, at least they're giving you an honest, fair response. It may have been the wrong one, but for the time when they made the reply, it was accurate. So I think there's something to be said for that, too, in that, yeah, it might be ultimately wrong. Is that considered fake, though? Just because it's their opinion, does that make it wrong?
I think it really is important that when we listen to a reporter from NPR, that we are able to trust the source of their information. And I recently listened to an NPR show that was live with a guest, like this one is, you know, guests are speaking. And the NPR reporter told about all of the laudatory things the person had done to make them the famous person that they were reporting. And the first thing the person said as she began to speak was, none of that's true. As a matter of fact, that's reported on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is a source that is dependent only on individuals putting information in. And in fact, I did none of that. Everywhere I go, people think I did this thing that I, in fact, have never done. So NPR didn't vet their own source. And I think it's really important that we, when we have sources that we think of as trusted, like NPR, that we call them up short on that. You must vet your sources to begin with.
I don't think the mistakes like that are as nearly as important or as dangerous as, you know, we have an element right now that is definitely trying to push an agenda in a certain direction. In this country, we have a president who's constantly talking about sources like the New York Times as being fake news, when in fact New York Times is one of the finest newspapers in the world, or NPR, anything that just disagrees with them. And then there's a lot of people backing them up. And they're trying to push things in that direction. You frequently hear that when Hitler came into power, the first thing he did was take away all the guns from the German people. Well, that's not true at all. Hitler was not a demagogue to the German people. The German people loved him. But one of the first things he did do is eliminate all the free press, eliminate all the radio, all the news that people got were filtered by the government. I won't say we're there now, but it almost looks like we're pushing that way when we have this guy who's constantly talking about fake news, regardless of how accurate it is. He's more fake than any of them.
I'd like to address your issue regarding, we talked about mistaken news versus fake news. I think, and let's go to what fake news is if it's not mistaken news. But fake news is something that's being used by a lot of people to push their particular agenda, sell their particular product. I encounter that quite a bit with press releases that are sent out by all kinds of companies looking to sell their products and their services. And they try to couch it in such a way that it sounds like it's a news story or it's based on latest statistics and whatnot. And what's scary to me is that there's a lot, growing number of people out there who see stuff like that and just automatically assume that it's accurate and it's true. We seem to have lost a healthy level of skepticism. I'm an optimistic person. I kind of look for the best in people, but I've also come to be a little skeptical about anything and everything until it's proven to me to be true or accurate or what it says it is. So I'd like to see people becoming a little bit more skeptical and just not buying into everything that they hear right away, especially if it kind of goes right into what they already believe or how they already feel strongly about something. Then they're even more susceptible to falling prey to fake news. So I think people just need to be a little bit more skeptical, look closer at the statistics, look at the source, where is it coming from, who's putting this out. And it's pretty easy to see who and where it's coming from and determine that it is indeed fake news.
I'd like to tap into that one because that was one of the items that I did a little research on just before I came in today. And I looked up product leader or product leadership. And I think fake news, and that's how I wrote it up, is a cultural product leader. Because product leader is defined as, one, a passion for the product, fake news, passion to get out and get your product sold. Two, a broad functional knowledge and organizational understanding of your base, of who, and that's a familiar word, in your base. Number three, a strong product point of view. What is fake news? Yeah, it's all this way. It's this or this, one of the two. Number four, a general understanding of technology to get you by, to get this product sold. And number five, the ability to pick and lead great talent, which means pick your great spokesman, pick the person who's really going to go out, who's going to sell your product, who's going to make your case for you, whether it be guns, ammo, whatever, pick one, but somebody who's going to go out and represent your cause to move your product.
I spent 40 years or more in the advertising business, and I personally felt like advertising was kind of walking that delicate line, the razor's edge, if you will, between truth and making it up. Of course, I think that it can easily be argued that if you say brand new, you're throwing a bias into what it is that you're talking about. Any of these buzzwords, free, new,
improve,
save, improve, exactly.
Bigger,
all
better,
of these buzzwords, there's a lot of psychology behind this, and that's the thing that I find scary about this concept of fake news, as I would define as somebody who intentionally just wants to put something that's erroneous out there for some particular reason, whatever it may be. In some cases, it may be just for kicks, because I've read of some of those stories where people have just merely done something because they get the attention. They like to get that many hits on their particular YouTube site or something. But there's a psychology element to the business of advertising, and I've argued with many a client about, well, I think that's kind of stretching the truth a little bit. And what I learned in advertising was that you should be truthful, but to go ahead and to paint a nice rosy picture about your product.
I'd like to add on to what you just said, the psychological aspect. Fake news has been around since the dinosaurs. It's just become a lot more prevalent in just the last couple of years, and the reason why, I think, is because of what's been happening with our society and social media and how everyone is connected with one another. And everyone is just, I mean, they can't stand to be away from their phones or away from their Facebook or their Twitter feeds for very long because they feel like they're missing out on something or the excitement of something. And so psychologically, people out there, whatever their agenda is, are using fake news as a way to tap into what's going on in our society as a whole, where we're need constant instant gratification. We need to know what's going on at any given minute and be the first people to turn on and share it with a whole bunch of our other friends. Hey, I just read this. What do you think? And they're just feeding off of that kind of new human behavior that's been going on with the technology that is fueling our society these days.
So confirmation bias is what we're talking about, one of the real hallmarks of fake news. You were just speaking, Rick, about how people more or less are reading things that feed into their confirmation bias and then rebroadcast that. And I think part of the situation with the availability of all media, not just social media, but the availability of all media, is that we now are growing up into using that media, and we haven't made the next step into the maturation of insisting that the media actually gives us what we're trying to get from the media, because every bit of the media is trying to monetize itself. So we're pretty much, we don't know that we are, but if we're not a product on the internet, then we are a potential customer, and that's how the net operates. Mm-hmm. So how to operate in that kind of a total media frenzy about monetizing themselves is very difficult to know where our news can come from.
Yeah, where the news stops and where the fake starts. I want to use a quick example. This just came up a couple of weeks ago, but I receive a press release or news release at least once a week, or once a month, or every couple of months, from a company. I think it's called Smartwise or Safewise, and what they do is they go around and they take FBI statistics for which is the safest town, which is the most dangerous town, which has the highest house prices or the lowest house prices, the best town to retire in Oregon or whatever state. And they take those statistics and put them together into a story and then send off these targeted emails to that particular town and say, hey, Brookings, guess what? FBI statistics show that you are the safest town in all of Oregon. Isn't that great? And then the next thing you know, people are spreading that on Facebook. Newspapers, radio stations, city officials are picking that up and treating it like it's real news without vetting it and putting it out there. And before you know it, like Wikipedia, people are just taking that information, and the more you say it, the more it becomes the truth after a while. And that's just a very simple example of fake news and how people are using it to manipulate people into...
You know, interestingly enough, we're talking about fake news. When I was a kid, the news was a half-hour show at 6 o'clock, 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Now it's 24/7. It's not a half hour or even an hour or the Sunday night news. How are you going to keep people interested that long? Well, apparently it's working because we have how many stations doing exactly that 24/7? How are you going to fill in all that content?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the curiosities about current news is tune in for our 11 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to sell stuff. They're not doing news. They're selling. They are selling.
Or the news opens up with the stories they're going to talk about, and the last one is always some thing that you have to sit and watch, the cute kitten story or whatever it is, that the grabber at the end.
And there's always a cliffhanger, just like old time.
Exactly.
Movies.
Yeah, yeah. You won't believe what's happened next.
Exactly.
And be granted, there's nothing wrong with that. What's the word I'm looking for?
That model or that
example? Yeah, that model, because, I mean, everyone understands that you got to sell advertising to pay for your reporters and pay for your people to go out and get that news. So it's a necessary evil, if you will.
We now have three of them.
Right. I mean, we know that
MSNBC, we have CNN. What's the Trump one? The
Fox News.
Fox News. I mean, there's three right off the top, 24/7 reporting. Right.
Well, but look at your local newspapers, for instance, or local radio stations. Granted, you're going to hear music. You tune into the radio station because you like that particular music, or you read that newspaper because you want to learn what's going on in your neighborhood. But you also know that you're also going to have to listen to ads or read the ads as you flip from page to page. So we all know that it's a necessary evil. So I don't have any problem with that mingling advertising with news reporting, because it's what pays the bills and pays for the people to go out there and vet the information and try to make sure that it's accurate information. You know, they work together kind of symbiotically. The fake news is where you start to kind of go into a gray area, and they're kind of combining that, and where that's what's scary to me, and that people aren't able to kind of discern the difference between what is real news gathered by people who have been trained to a certain degree to gather that news and make sure it's vetted and as most accurate as humanly possible, and what's just complete BS, and it's just being packaged to look like news and handed to people, and they're swallowing it.
You know? Interestingly enough, just before I came in, I had heard a little blip on the news, so I did some research, and supposedly Facebook/Fakebook, whichever it is, had taken rubles, Russian rubles, to pay for Islamic, racial, and gun control and 2016 election information. Over 3,000 Russian-connected ads were placed on Facebook that they're now claiming. 126 million users were actually reached with these Facebook ads, according to their data. This is Facebook reporting this. Al Franken, the Democrat from Minnesota, said Facebook sold political ads to assets that paid in Russian rubles. And Facebook saying, oh, we didn't know anything about it.
Well, they were also paid in English pounds, and they were paid in euro dollars, and they were paid in Canadian dollars. Facebook, in fact, is an international company, so they receive payments from all over the world. The Russians were a step ahead of Facebook because Facebook has started to depend, or probably has always depended, on something called algorithms. And you on Facebook are not really a human being. You are actually an algorithm. And so until they realized that, the company, I believe, did realize that the algorithms could be utilized specifically for promulgating, I don't know, revolution. But it could be promulgated from both sides. But but what happened was the Russians were a step ahead of them in that the Russians also created a great many of the kinds of platforms that are used constantly in the web, Linux among them. So we have great brains that are Russian scientists, that are Russian programmers, and they basically foxed us all. Mm-hmm. Hard to use that word, but...
And I bet they're not the only ones out there in the world.
I bet they're not.
Taking advantage of this. Anyone who relies on Facebook to get accurate news is just fooling themselves. I recently read that there was a survey where they went out and interviewed people, teenagers, young adults, you know, middle-aged adults, and asked them, where do they get their news? And 40% said they got their news from Facebook. That is scary.
It's really that high, huh?
Yeah. If you believe that particular study.
Sure.
I haven't had a chance. It was just yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to go back and vet who did the study and find out who's behind it. But for some reason, I don't doubt that number. Or my brain isn't waving a big red flag and saying, you better check these statistics, because based on anecdotal information and just what I've been able to observe over the last couple of years about the internet and news and fake news, that seems like it could be a legitimate number. 40% of people getting their news these days not from reliable sources, and TV shows and newspapers and radio stations, traditional news sources, but Facebook.
What I read once was, and this may be fake, but nonetheless it rang true with me at the time, was that something like 50% of anything you read anywhere is subject to truthfulness. Part of it because you may have a different slant on that particular whatever, but a lot of it just simply because it's basically old husband's tales, if you will, that have been passed down for generations about this or about that. And nobody has ever learned anything any different over the years. And so where do you get your information? You tend to get it from your peer group. You tend to get it from the people that you hang around with. What's the reliability factor of getting news from people you hang around with or from Facebook? And I would gather that probably 50% of it is just junk.
I got an email a couple of years ago from a friend of mine. He's a pretty intelligent guy. He was a captain in the Army, a helicopter pilot. I worked with him for quite a while. Very smart guy, not very well educated, but educated. And he had just learned that the IRS you were going to have to register your guns with the IRS. This is a secret bill going through Congress that was going to require this, and you were going to have to pay a tax of $50 on every gun. Now, that's the type of thing people, even smart people, believe. I think a big part of the problem we have with so much fake news being so popular is that we have a lot of people that aren't very smart or don't take the time to read a whole story or pay attention to what's going on. I was visiting a relative in the hospital recently during the Puerto Rican hurricane, and there was an article on the news about the Puerto Rican hurricane, and there was a nurse in there, a nurse, not an orderly or an LPN or RN, who is college-educated, and she was doing what nurses do in the room, and she happened to catch a little of the report, and she says, oh, there's a hurricane in Puerto Rico, and it had been on the news for a couple of days. It was the first she'd heard of it.
You all in this room might remember something called AP Feed. And AP Feed was the source of almost all news broadcast at one time, Associated Press Feed.
And UPI.
And UPI, right, mm-hmm. The two major ones. They all came in on a ticker tape back in the day into the newsroom. And what happens actually with news today is something else that really causes fake news to be spread, not by us unsuspecting consumers, but by the news media themselves. I had this as a direct experience, so I'm just going to report it. It's not very long ago, in 2010, so 7 years ago, I happened to be the focus of a news story, and I was interviewed by one newspaper, and then I thereafter occupied immediately 8 pages of Google. None of the other news sources had interviewed me at all. Several of them had the facts of the story completely wrong, but as one news outlet began to repeat the story with a slight change, you could follow who had gotten that news from that news outlet through the news themselves. That taught me, more than anything else, how much the echo chamber effect works in news, because it was like a game of gossip, except I was the focus. Mm-hmm. And 15 minutes of fame is not very pleasant, because what happens on page one of Google is that the most exciting story gets the most hits. And so it is most likely to be the least true. And it still follows that today.
Sure. And it goes back to what Bill was saying, is how do you fill that 24/7 news hole? Well, you don't and if you don't have a big staff, what you're going to do is you're going to pick up that news from other sources, like this case, and put it on your website or in your paper on your radio station. Maybe you're not going to claim it as your own product, but it's still not going to stop you from putting it on there. And you start that whole process. But by the time it does show up and people are reading it, who knows exactly how many reiterations it's gone through and what's been changed and what's still accurate or not.
There are a couple of things that that affect the severity of fake news. One of them is people sitting by their cell phones or by their PCs for social things. It's not social. They are isolated. And their sources of information are extremely limited. And this is one of the things that you get to hear things that you already agree with and, you know, from friends that already do that. Another funny aspect is, and this is especially prevalent in politics, all of a sudden, instead of going through any logical analysis, people get pissed off immediately. Ad hominem is very common from our president. You know, attacks, he's a jerk, you know, blah, 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 this kind of stuff. And these things, when you put them in combination with the rapidity with which things get spread over the internet, makes it quite a volatile nastiness.
Yeah, but America is supposed to have been based on united we stand, divided we fall, correct? And boy, are we being divided, right?
We are being divided.
And if you think about it, it's easier for us to go to another country and attack another culture because they're different than us. America back in the 40s and 50s during segregation, extreme prejudice because they're different than us. It's easy to attack somebody who's different. It's a lot harder to attack your own neighbors. Therefore, in order to divide, it actually allows further separation. And that's precisely what we're doing here in America right now.
I'm a firm believer that the reason why we haven't seen another 9/11 attack or any kind of major terrorism attack,
they've succeeded.
Well, is because they're just sitting back and letting us do ourselves in.
Precisely.
They're watching us, this country, tear ourselves apart, and we just need to stop doing that to ourselves and start, we can't, we shouldn't be playing into their hands. And they just foment things by, outside influences into Facebook and into social media and into the news, any little firebombs they can throw in there, and then just stand back and let it watch the chaos just spin out of control. And again, we're being divided and we're feeling less proud of where we live and what this country has accomplished, what we can do as a people, and the divisiveness is playing right into their hands.
I'm going to interject at this point. This nasty business of the First Amendment, anybody has the right to say anything except yell fire in a theater. The mainstream news media, for the most part, has, I feel anyway, done a pretty good job of checking their sources, double-checking to make sure that they're not following some sort of a silly lead. For the most part, I think the truth has come to light as a result of that. But now it's different. Now I can go home with my little video camera and put together my own little news show and report whatever I want. I'm not regulated. I think to some degree that the mainstream news media is kind of self-regulated in that they have a creed, if you will, to uphold. That's not the right word. I'm getting too old to think of the right words, but Scott, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you kind of take an oath, so to speak, if you become a real honest-to-gosh...
Moral responsibility.
Moral responsibility, right. You're kind of aware of that. So I'd like to kind of throw out the First Amendment issue here. What can we do about, if anything, about some of these people who are putting together their own news shows? For example...
You mean like us?
Yeah, like us.
That's exactly what we're doing.
You'll get it later, Bill. But no, I'm thinking like, okay, so like Facebook, for example, there's a lot of stuff floating around there that was just put together in some little back room somewhere. How do we attach some sort of credibility to this?
Again, I think you have to focus on the end receiver, the consumer. I'm still hoping it's going to happen, but I think it's going to come a time where enough people are going to wake up to how they're being duped, and eventually they're going to return to, if you will, mainstream media and or news that's being reported by people who are at least trained in the process of reporting news and have some semblance of vetting process and going out there rather than just believing anything and everything that's posted by Joe Bob or an individual independent, you know, person out there. How long that's going to take, I'm not sure, or if it's ever going to happen, I'm not sure. But I'd like to eventually see some sort of backlash and people beginning to smarten up and begin to maybe try to start going back. And that, I think, will then embolden those sources to continue to stick to their ethical rules and guidelines and providing as accurate of information as they can. So I'm hoping eventually we'll make it back to that point.
You talk about you think society or people are going to wise up and learn about this stuff, but I kind of wonder about that because every now and then, just for the heck of it, I wander through YouTube and look at things like what really happened on 9/11. And of course, what really happened is those were not real planes. Those were holograms that flew into those buildings. And if you watch these 45-minute reports, and they'll talk about there was no sound and there was no numbers and just all kinds of reasons to believe that those were not real planes. And then they'll quote some PhD or some PhD will appear on camera and he'll talk about the physics of this and the physics of that. So naturally say, well, who the heck is this PhD? So you Google him and you quickly find out that this Google site was made for him for that particular, in other words, it was nonsense made up about him. And then when you look at the amount of likes, they're in the multiple thousands, 15, 20,000, and you read the comments and one after another talk about great investigation, good job. Sandy Hook was fake. No kids were killed. There were multiple shooters in Las Vegas, and all those people you saw laying around were trauma actors. This is on there. Thousands and thousands of people are watching it and liking it and commenting about how good the reporting and the investigation was.
Kind of makes you kind of lose hope for humanity, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I've had an upside-down flag on my car for a long time.
Actually, there's something that you can do on Facebook, and that's partly because who knows if Zuckerberg is running for president or not. That's pretty scary in and of itself. But actually, on Facebook, don't like things. In fact, use block, use unfollow, and report. Those are three functions that have been on Facebook since the beginning. And instead of liking something, you can use any of those other things to alert Facebook. At first, Facebook didn't pay attention to its users. When I've been on Facebook a long time, I use it for social interaction and also for political discussion. But at any rate, Facebook started out saying you can report this to the Facebook community. Well, the Facebook community turned out to be a bunch of shallow, excuse the expression, Stanford College graduates who didn't have any skin in the game. So they were all about monetizing your experience on Facebook completely. So they didn't pay attention. But something happened when there became enough users of this large tool so that it began to have an impact when 100 people said, this is wrong, take it down. And 100 people is not that many people. Thousands of people saying, like, that's a problem. But 100 people saying to those thousands of people, like, this is fake news, or this is should not be on this site, this really insults the community on Facebook, whatever you say. Facebook then looks at it, a human being actually looks at that material. And the thing about Facebook is if it's running with algorithms, we need to make human beings again be involved in the process. And then we'll have some level of trust that can be rebuilt, if that's possible. Breitbart, I have a list of 176 fake news sites that run all over the net, including Facebook, if they're quoted there. But that's pretty startling. And a lot of them look like real things. They're called MSN something, or they're called NBC something, or they're called ABC something. So if you don't take the responsibility to be an informed consumer on Facebook, you really get fed a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm. And some people don't want to be informed. They want to just hear something that confirms what they already think or what they already believe. And those people who create those websites know that. I mean, how do you sell something? You find out your target audience, and you do everything you can to reach them. And in this particular case, you reach them with fake news and other types of information that gives them what they want. And then in return, they come back to your website, which is what you need in order to sell advertising on your website, is to have guaranteed audience members coming back. So, yeah, so it's almost like, well, you get what you pay for in terms of, or you get what you want as far as if you're a consumer. And some people, I don't know, they're just happy to continue to live a life being in a bubble and not really having to think or deal with reality, but just only just live in their bubble and be happy with things that conform to their beliefs and their what's of interest to them.
Curiously enough, one of the things that's happened, and it's fairly recent, probably the last decade, all of a sudden, advertising is being pushed on you no matter what you do. Look at anything, and all of a sudden a thing appears. You have to look at it, get rid of it first, then you can read the article you were looking for. This happens on a cell phone, and it's just disastrous. Even BBC News, it happens. And it is impolite. It's just not good. And this whole commercial basis, this profit bottom line being so important, is not a good thing.
Now, see, you're making me feel bad, because one of the things that I sold in the course of my lifetime was satellite-delivered music services for things like grocery stores. And we were trying to sell the little ads at the pump to take audio out to the gas pump, so that while you were putting gas in your car. And then somebody else came out with one that was a little ad right on the pump, on the handle itself, the part you put in the filler, you know, so while you were putting it in there, and he said, oh, come inside for a nice cold drink or whatever. I think that a large part of the driving force of any of this has got to be the money. And I would even say that as far as all of the politics is concerned, this particular nation attacking this particular nation for this particular reason, it all boils down to money in the long run. I know that somewhere, one of the things that I picked up, and I hear it quite a bit now, is follow the money. You want to know who did what or what's what? Follow the money and see where it goes. And I think in a lot of cases, it comes back to the corporation. I've seen where various advertising mediums are taking, and especially things like Facebook and the online stuff, they can do this now. They can track your preferences. So you click on the box that you like hiking outdoors, and the next thing you know, the ads are all tailored just for you, the outdoor gear and clothing that you need. And again, it's follow the money. I think it is becoming highly commercialized.
A few years ago, we were looking at buying a house that we ultimately did buy, and we were emailing friends saying we were looking for a house in Oregon, and we started getting ads in the little blocks on the side from realtors in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
This was something in the email. It wasn't, we weren't researching or something like that. I was sending an email to a friend.
My car dealership knows it's my birthday.
And curiously enough, almost every single ad you see has a click-on box that says, buy now.
Oh, yeah. To include car dealerships.
Yes. Yeah, but this, basically, advertising is a question of degree. There's useful, and then there's just, overwhelming, the malarkey.
Invasive.
And totally invasive.
Every one of those stations on the air, there's what, 3-4 that we've clicked off here and named? Every one of them has advertisers. Every one of them is, quote, supporting the station, end quote, as we've all agreed. Therefore, they've got to have the numbers of people watching in order to pay the bills. That's why it's continuing. So who's the problem? Look in the mirror.
I have a question. Do any of you know or understand this? This concept is slightly beyond my horizon of understanding. It's something called Bitcoin. And what's happening now is if you look at an ad, you actually have monetized whoever's at the base of that ad without spending anything with them, because the advertiser pays according to how many people look at the ad. And quite often they don't even pay in real money. They pay in something called Bitcoin, which is actual web-based currencies, which have nothing to do with anything that we would recognize as money. Does anybody know how that operates in the area of fake news? Do you know how that supports it?
Okay.
Good question.
That's an excellent question. I don't know.
Oh, and here's another cheerful note. There is two of the guys that worked for Facebook at first have broken off into a new company, and it's called Q-U-O-R-A, Quora. And what Quora monetizes is attitude. They basically ask for opinion. They're an opinion website entirely. They are funded currently by the megabucks that the two guys made from their Facebook connections, but they intend to use the Facebook algorithms to sell you product based on your opinions rather than on your age or geography or whatever. And they're really doing this. They're going to try to predict what you as a human being will do based on the opinion you gave somebody. Who knows what the opinion was about or how thorough it was? Because we know that in print, our opinions can't really be hugely expressed. We express them in two or three paragraphs. So just to let you know, that's also coming.
No, that's also here.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, all the references, you know, the sidebars on Facebook, whatever you have an opinion about, they'll give you more of and more intensely. And it just keeps going and going and deeper and deeper. And it's the algorithm.
I've got Bitcoin according to Wikipedia here. And I'm trying to add the magic of somebody
so,
ring
so
the bell.
So half of what he's going to read will be true.
Yeah. So somebody ring the bell. And there we go. Okay, just to explain, we're going to get a different bell, but this is what's here for the time being. And essentially, if you hear the bell ring, it means somebody's called a question as, maybe this is fake news or whatever. And in this case, I don't think that it's a matter of fake. It's a matter of us trying to understand what it is. Bitcoin, according to Wikipedia, is a worldwide cryptocurrency and a digital payment system called the first decentralized digital currency. As the system works without a central repository or single administrator, it seems to me what they're saying is that Bitcoin is essentially an international monetary system.
Virtual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can actually trade. It's almost like bartering.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like bartering, except for you're doing it online, and it takes on a value as long as it's being used within that realm, and people see value in it. Hey, if you can get people to agree that this is what you're going to trade, whether it's real in your hand, in your pocket, in your wallet, or if it's online and being traded and has some value and can be redeemed, then why not?
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
That's basically no different than the American greenbacks, which have nothing in back of them except the reputation of the federal government.
Well, essentially all money is a symbolic representation of you and I engaged in a trade.
Right.
You're a carpenter, and I don't need a carpenter, but I need a plumber, so I hire a plumber, and then, you know, we trade money around because we don't necessarily have all the skills to do it. So regardless of what the system is, I don't think the idea of anything behind it, because we went away from that a long time ago, back in the 30s, I think, wasn't it? When did we go off the gold standard?
Anybody know? It's been more recent
than that. That was 62, 63, somewhere.
Was it 62? Okay. I've heard this expression that if the government needs money, they just print it. And I've asked the question, where does it go? Do they just print a whole bunch of money and give it to some guy out on the street and say, hey, go spend this? Or
it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Just the printing of it. What has to happen is it has to maintain its value by only giving for something that is of value in return.
Right.
And basically all money does is equate various things. If you make shoes and somebody builds a house, you know, the shoemaker, how is he going to buy a house? Or how is the house builder going to buy a pair of shoes? If you have, you know, X amount of everything in valuation for each of these things, then you can decide what things are worth to each and another.
I want to go in a direction with the discussion on the lie of omission. And this is from, and I don't know if you can use this source, it's called Merriam-Webster.
I think I heard that.
But a lie of omission is a lie in which someone deliberately withholds pertinent details about something in order to dissuade someone else's idea of truth or engender a misconception. So purposely leaving important stuff out. And it's just amazing. I have watched a few shows where they're supposedly quoting somebody and they show this little short snippet and then expand into what wasn't even said or wasn't even reviewed. Lie of omission. I think that's a good one for our discussion.
I think that's called a first date. How can we defend ourselves against Dr. Evil? You know he's out there somewhere. Some people have suggested that it might be Putin, but it might be Kim Jong-un, or maybe it's one of James Bond's evil characters. You know who I'm talking about, Doctor. You know who? Controlling our lives from this new mega weapon called fake news. How do we protect ourselves from that?
get a little educated for one thing. If we pick your news sites, if you start reading something that's referring to the lefty reporters or referring to a bad term for right-wing reporters, pretty obviously the person writing that has a point of view, and it's probably something, if you're going to read it at all, you should take it with a grain of salt that that person is writing from a point of view. Mm-hmm. And when I don't think a legitimate news source like the New York Times, I'd be surprised if they ever refer to people as lefties or righties. So somebody using that kind of terminology is just looking for do some salacious writing, it seems like.
I would like to address that when having moved here from Utah, where it was a very, very, very strong Republican base. That's all I knew. And then I went to California for a year to work on my brother-in-law's home, and he was a stout liberal. He was a Mensa. I mean, the guy was no dummy. He had all of this Democratic paraphernalia and information. And at first I thought it was propaganda. Then I started reading. I thought, wait a minute, hey, some of this stuff's real. Well, then I get up into here where it's a much more mixed culture. I understand we're around 50-50. I don't know how true or false that is. But coming from Utah, this is radically different than what I was accustomed to over there. And all it's done from reading Sean's information, from doing my own research, and I predominantly watch CNN. I don't have Fox anymore like I did as the dominant station in Utah. It's forced me to really expand and look and judge and question. And that's the reason I now kind of think I'm an independent, because I see the good and the bad in both sides. And I think I've watched Bill Maher. I've always enjoyed him. I always thought he was an intelligent discussion person. I've watched him go radical on the anti-gun stuff, which doesn't agree with me. But he's made so much sense at times, too. And so I've had to come and realize that both sides are right and both sides are wrong. So I think, as you pointed out, if we don't get educated and we don't listen to the other side, bottom line, most of us agree on all of the basics.
I think Bill Maher has reason to believe that there might be a God. He's my hero. But he does come from a point of view. Mm-hmm. He has panel discussions that has various people, usually from various points of view. But anything Bill Maher says is very opinionated. It happens to be my opinion as well.
But even though he's a pro-Democrat, and that's what I find so interesting, he will still come in and say, hey, but demos, you got to pay attention here. Guys, you're blowing it right here. And he tries to make the point and sell his point of view, which I think is fair, because if we look at ourselves honestly, I mean, I can look in the mirror and tell you what I need. I know. It's easy to see. So I kind of think that's what he's doing for the Democratic Party. Yeah, he's promoting it, but he's also willing to admit, hey, we got a mole right here.
Yeah.
You asked, Dan, about how do we protect ourselves from the effects of fake news, and what are we looking at in First Amendment issues? And one of the things is that my personal belief is that we live in an incredibly complex world. And so the idea that somebody out there is out to get us is something that I don't believe is true. I think that people have various agendas that they're trying to, some of them are trying to accomplish things through motives that I can't pretend to understand, and I certainly don't support what appears to be their end goal. But as far as having a conspiracy, that's one of the major things that I look for in fake news, and can spot it right away. If there's a conspiracy theory in there, and we've got a whole bunch of statistics with no footnotes, then I'm pretty sure that that person is writing an opinion piece that is trying to fly by me as news. And so in First Amendment places, I think that, yes, anyone can say anything that they like, but I also am free to disagree with it. And that's the other side of the First Amendment. So I don't see that my First Amendment rights are being impinged on by people who propound conspiracy theories, because I don't believe them.
Well, that again is something that you have taken on for yourself. You are the one who has read the whatever the fake news is and decided on your own that you're going to take it with a grain of salt, which is what Scott is saying, that the responsibility ultimately falls to us to do our own fact-checking to make sure that we don't just accept something that we see on the face value of it.
And one thing I'd like to add is we really need to look at what's going on in our schools. are our kids, as they're growing up and going through school, are they being taught analytical skills? Are they being taught the skills so that when they do become adults or when they do hear stuff, they can discern what's real and what's not real? Or at least have question things instead of just accepting it as fact. And we've all heard stories probably in our school systems where even some of the teachers themselves, because they have a particular political agenda or not, are saying things and stating as fact to these students. And those students, because they haven't been taught any kind of analytical skills or other skills that help them discern fact from fiction, or at least know that it's okay to have a difference of an opinion, that's where we need to look. You know, that maybe that's where we can start, so we don't end up with a whole another generation of adults who lack those skills.
But we have whole school districts and whole states that are feeding false information to students now. Texas, as an example, has done a lot of changing of textbooks, kind of brushing over the fact that, oh yeah, and there might have been a slave or two here and there, but they were happy folks singing in the fields, that kind of stuff. Completely ignoring the fact that we killed hundreds of thousands of Indians on purpose, things like that. And because Texas buys so many books, they, in some cases, set the standard for what school books should be. Mm-hmm. And it's really very scary. And I agree absolutely. I can remember my first day in college, my first class I took, and one of the first things the teacher talked about was, just because it's in writing doesn't mean that it's true, you have to believe it. And I was in my 20s when I started college. I'm thinking, this is a college course. Why on earth does she think that we need to be taught that? Doesn't everybody know that? But evidently not.
There's also such a thing as tone. One of my friends was a college professor, taught writing. He would regularly give students assignments to write something about their opposing point of view and to write it in such a way as to sell it. That was what the course was all about, how to write something so that you can sell your point of view. And he taught not just writing, but also journalism and that sort of thing. And I remember one of the examples that he used was gun control. And he knew that half of his students were not for it, and the other half probably were. So he swapped them out, and he said, okay, now write for the opposing point of view and convince me that you're right.
But back then, didn't we have an upper class, a middle class, and a lower class? And right now, what are we looking at? Predominantly upper and lower. The middle class, isn't that one of our major issues here in America? And so therefore, aren't we dumbing down a majority of people to fit down into that lower class?
I think that some people would like for that to be true. And this goes back to the evil Doctor Who. No, Doctor Who, he was one of the good guys, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Doctor, you know who. It's again, the follow the money kind of thing where somebody wants to sell you something, a new car, brand new, nice, shiny dollhouse, or something out there, and they're going to couch it in such a way so that it'll be most appealing to you, and it's a money issue.
I noticed in Utah there was, as I was leaving, there were quite a few new home or separate paved to go to school institutions where they were taking homes and upgrading them to schools as opposed to the public education system. So even the public itself doesn't believe that the public education is adequate. And I think that's a major debate within our political system right now, too. So maybe that's valid in the political arena. Do we go to something like homeschool? Is it strictly education, or is it just a matter of some special training we have to do for ourselves that we relay to the children in our own home and say, hey, where did you vet this? You know, how do you know this is true? And we just start challenging our own selves.
Sure. And I think if this moves beyond class, because just because you end up, you know, falling into the lower class, if you will, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you've given away your intelligence, that you're still, there's plenty of people who are very smart, but are considered lower class. And there are plenty of people who are higher class and don't have a clue and have no education.
But so, as Ray pointed out, where they're editing books and making changes in the public school system, if they're removing the facts, then yeah, you're actually skewing the results negatively for the general population. You're dumbing them down. Bottom line, you are.
And this that's a perfect example. Some people say, how could Hitler get away with what he did? Why did the people of Germany allow that to happen? Well, what you just pointed out with the example of Texas, that's how it happened.
You remove facts.
Right. And also, people don't see it for what it is at the time that it's happening. Now we're looking at it afterwards and saying, aha, look what they just did. That's not right. But there was nobody...
And we're doing it again.
Yeah.
Well, we're also breeding nationalism, which is one of the things that Hitler did right now in this country. America first, America, America, America.
Okay, well, we've reached that magic point where we've been told that either we sum it up or we'll suddenly be silent. Yep, she's reaching for the plug there. So anyway, let's sum it up here a little bit. Go ahead, raise your hands, and if you've got a summation point you'd like to make, do it.
I just have one point, and that's a free press and free flow of information is part of the challenge of a free society, and it's something we have to deal with.
I'd like to just conclude that people out there, every once in a while, just turn your digital gadgets off and give yourself a break.
Well, what would I do?
One other thing that might be useful is that instead of immediately forming an opinion in anger, look behind it first, because this is one of the great things that cuts off all of the intelligent background that you can investigate.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Absolutely. And this anger, it's important. Saying thank you and hello and things like this, believe it or not, is a basic protocol. If people act like that to you, you know they're not going to try to kill you immediately. You know, this anger business is very basic and very immediate.
It's called be professional.
Yeah.
Just be professional with everybody. Be courteous, be professional. Yeah, quit acting like an idiot. Be professional. Even if you disagree, it doesn't matter. Be professional.
We have relatives visit from South Florida, which is one of the most rude places in the country. I believe it's actually been voted as that.
I think Indiana's worse.
And whenever they come visit us in the West, they're just amazed at how nice people are in the store. And nobody gave me the finger all day. What a nice place.
And in summation for me, I'd like to bring up my rule of three C's, which is if you didn't cause it and you can't cure it and you can't control it, let it go. Scott, that kind of goes back to your statement. All of you with anger issues that are so upset about this or that or the other side, if you didn't cause it and you can't cure it and you can't control it, then it's really not your problem. Just let it go. Mellow out.
I have a lot of friends who have sent me stuff over the years, just tons of stuff, a website here and a link there and so on and so on. And I've looked at them and I've said, I don't think this is right. And so I stuck it into my friendly Snopes, and when I found it to be true, I would send it back and say, yeah, I checked this out, it's good. And if I found it to be false, I would hit reply all, and I would say, send this back as far as you can, because this is not true. The interesting thing is that a lot of these friends have quit sending me stuff. Does that say something?
My personal belief is that it comes down to individual responsibility, and I agree very much, Rick, that individual responsibility is not a thing of class, and it's not a thing of economics. Individual responsibility resides in the individual. And I've met people of all classes, economic classes, who recognize and believe that with me. Although, if you disagree with me about that, we can discuss it in a reasonable tone of voice. And the fake news often doesn't use that tone of voice. Fake news often seeks to make us anxious, afraid, anxiety, anxious, yeah, have anxiety, be afraid, all that. So fake news is not, it's not to anyone's benefit to keep it out there. I think we're shutting it down in our lifetimes. I hope so.
All right, so that's our discussion for the day. I'm Dan.
I'm Calla.
I'm Ray.
I'm Scott.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Bill.
And keep those cards and letters coming in.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.